Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
So, got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
Welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial, 929 FM, 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial and you want to stay up to date with everything happening here at the station, download the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. You can even stream on demand. We're also streaming live on the TuneIn Radio app, as well as the iHeartRadio app. Let's get right into it. My company, as he is on Tuesdays on the program, he's the host of VSiN's College Football and Basketball Betting Podcast. The VSiN College Football Betting Tailgate shows airing Saturdays at 8 a.m. Central. You can see him on VSiN Primetime on X at 1 Tim Murray. Tim, good day, sir.
Hello, sir. How are you doing on this Tuesday?
I am doing well, my man. And, you know, when you kind of think about it, this year, have we really had a down week? In terms of college football?
No, not really. What was it? Week? I'm trying to think off the top of my head. There was a little bit of like a lull. Maybe it was like week three. It was the week that Notre Dame played A&M.
That's week two, I believe, right?
No, that was week three because Notre Dame played Miami and then had a bye. There was one week that was kind of lackluster on the surface, but man, I tell you what, we're getting banger after banger. Like last week was awesome. I think this weekend has the chance to be really, really good again. And I don't foresee us having a letdown week from here on out.
And that's kind of where I'm going in that it took kind of a circuitous route. But have we kind of made college football into the NFL where even if like it's such a good TV product that it, like even on weekends, like you would have looked at the last two weekends and you would not have thought that we would have the reaction that we do. But that is kind of the nature of the sport. And obviously Penn State has played a big part of that. But I just kind of like wonder if like now if the parity and the teams are kind of spread out, like I almost wonder if we're just kind of there where we kind of got the TV product right.
You know, I didn't think we'd, I don't want to say never get to the day, but I think Indiana is a pretty fascinating case study. Texas Tech to a lesser extent. I mean, they're just spending a boatload of cash, right? So,
and I think Indiana is too, but it's somehow not getting discussed.
They're not in your face, kind of like Texas Tech is, like, hey, David Bailey's in the portal. We're going to give him $2 million.
And they've made it a talking point because I think they view it as, whether they'll be right or wrong, I think they view it as their path into wherever the better days are. They have to prove that they spend all this money.
Right. So when I think about this year in college football, I think this is what we've all been asking for. And I feel like people are like confused. And I am to an extent too, right? Where it's like Penn State was the preseason number two team. Texas was preseason number one. Clemson preseason number four. Texas might be figuring things out, or they just faced an Oklahoma team that was dealing with a quarterback that had a broken thumb and shouldn't have been playing. But a team like Indiana, a turnaround like this in 2 years in college football, like basketball, okay, that seems doable. But now, here you are, they've lost 2 games in 2 years. Their 2 losses came to teams that played for the national championship a year ago, and now they just went out to Autzen. And to be honest, the score 30-20, in my opinion, wasn't indicative of how that game played out.
No,
Indiana dominated them.
No, I said the same thing. If anything, the score, the pick six, kept you from really like looking at the score and thinking Indiana dominated the game like they did.
So I always like doing this exercise, and I don't think SP Plus is the Bible by any stretch of the imagination. I actually think it's a pretty personally bad look of lines. However, what I do like from SP Plus,
it is starting to get better.
I do like looking at the post-game win expectancy. It helps me kind of handicap looking ahead, like, hey, what results were misleading? Because you can't watch all of them. Indiana had a post-game win expectancy of 98.6. Like, that's indicative of like a 3-4 score win. The adjusted margin in that game. So once again, this is all computer based off the stats and whatnot. The adjusted margin was 16.9. I mean, it was a whooping they put on them.
I was trying to see. I think in terms of success rate, yeah, according to True Media, success rate for Indiana on offense was 47%, and it was 35% for Oregon. That translates into basically a 2-3 score win.
Right. So and then you look at their schedule remaining, and with Penn State being in a disaster zone, like Indiana, right now Indiana has the same odds to make the playoff as Miami. They're both minus 2,000. So to put that into terms that your average gambler might not know, you got to put $2,000 down to make 100 on Indiana to make the playoff. They are a enormous favorite to make the playoff, and you know they should be. You know, they answered the bell, and now they're going to be back in the playoff for a second straight year.
Well, and I think that's kind of the other aspect that I was thinking about, which is, okay, what do you think is something that your eyes tell you that will hold up the whole season?
Ohio State's defense is nasty.
And that's what I'm trying to decide. Like, do we have one dominant team, or maybe two? Because I think Miami maybe fell a little bit victim of, like, they have the weird schedule where they go bye week, FSU, bye week. And so they didn't play this weekend.
And I think their 28-3 win, or excuse me, 28-22, but that was dominant in my eyes. I was at the Notre Dame-Miami game. I think Notre Dame is better now, but still, I didn't think that was a 3-point win. I thought they were the better team the majority of the night, and they showed it on the lines. I keep, fair or not, and probably unfair, I keep thinking that a Mario moment's going to happen, and maybe it's Friday when they play Louisville as a 2-touchdown favorite, but I agree. We asked the question in mid-September, who do you trust, right? And Miami was one of the teams who were like, I think we trust Miami. I trust this Ohio State team. I think they've just been kind of easing into Julian Sayin because they didn't really need to make them go out there and do so much. I think they realize how good their defense is. Going out to Washington and holding that team to 6 points, like, that's a really impressive accomplishment.
Well, and especially that was a game where Ohio State's offense actually gave Washington some good field position. Like, if there was a game where someone was going to score on them with some field position and some taking advantage of turnovers, it was that game, and they just absolutely put the clamps down. I guess the other way, like, I'm kind of looking at it is, it feels like a lot of things aren't aging well, but there are two results that are aging well. It's just for Notre Dame, I think the Miami and Texas A&M, the games, they start to look more and more respectable each and every week. where it feels like almost everybody else, you're kind of going in this other direction where it feels like, you know, for instance, we'll get into the Penn State of it all, but now doesn't the Penn State-Oregon game make you look at that game differently?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, but then I'll play devil's advocate to that. What do we make of Alabama losing at Florida State?
No, I that was actually my overreaction from the weekend. And I want to obviously point out to the Florida State fans, I understand context matters. If I would have told you on Saturday Florida State is going to be playing without their top three receivers, sure. Well, you would have immediately gone like, oh, man, I just hope we escape with a win. And then you had that weird punt return touchdown, like, and so the game gets sideways and you lose a one-score game that way. But I think the more we see of Alabama, the more that you and I watch the team that we thought they were going to be coming into the season, and you're just left. It's not the fact that Alabama lost the game in week one. It was, man, that was like kind of domination. And like, I know the final score can sometimes like cloud how you think about it, because I was arguing after that week, like, man, there were some opportunities where Alabama should have just taken field goals, and all of a sudden I think that game stays much more within reach. They didn't do so. The game gets sideways. Remember, there was also the weird, like, when Alabama was kind of starting to settle in, then a massive torrential downpour comes down.
Yep,
and,
and
like, I understand there's context for all this, but I think when we get to the end of the season, it happens every year where you have these week one results where you're like, huh, that was weird. I think that's going to be the one that's the weirdest.
What was the year? What was it? 2014 Ohio State lost at home to Virginia Tech.
And then rolled it off.
Title.
Is that also the year like Goff went and beat Texas at Cal?
Oh, man. It could be. I'm trying to. Yeah, there. And then they got absolutely destroyed at Utah. Am I remembering?
Yeah, I think that all kind of sounds right.
Yeah, but look, you know, I think you and I were on the same wavelength. I coming into this year, I thought Alabama was the best team in the country. And do I think they're the best team in the country now? No. I think that's Ohio State. Certainly Indiana deserves to be in the discussion, even though I would take Alabama on a neutral against Indiana. And Miami deserves a lot of credit. But we're starting to see who this Alabama team is. Now, what is interesting to me regarding Alabama, and once again, back to post-game win expectancy. I'm not saying it's the Bible, but I like to use it as a reference.
By the way, I think that year was 2015.
Okay.
Because I think it's the year they win the national title. I think they lose to Virginia Tech early.
Yeah, they lost to Virginia Tech at home, right? And then the following year, they beat them at Virginia Tech. I might have my years wrong, but something like that. They had a home-and-home, and Virginia Tech wasn't very good. They ended up being like 5-7. They turned around and won the national title.
But so it was a week two. Okay, so you had the year right. It was 2014, but it was a week two. But it's my larger point, like in general, is like almost every single year you can go back and be like, that's a week one result. That's like there's no preseason. It just doesn't make sense based on what else you watch the rest of the year.
Notre Dame lost to a 7-5 MAC team last year.
Yeah.
And went to the national championship game. But I wanted to bring this up about Alabama because you and I are high on Bama. And boy, was that a lovely result. Having Mizzou +3.5, threading the needle with Alabama futures. Woo! That was lovely.
You got everything you wanted.
Yep. Until later in the night, and we can talk about that with Auburn.
Ooh, I also had LSU.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what number did you get?
Well, you had 10.5. I got 9.5.
Oh, beautiful. There we go.
Oh, no. I had South Carolina.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, dagger. Yeah, that's not good. But what I want to say about Alabama, once again, is post-game win expectancy against Georgia, according to SB+, 19.6%. And this one surprised me because I thought Alabama had a chance to run away and hide in Columbia. They gave post-game win expectancy 28% for Bama. I don't agree with that. Like,
so you got to remember with post-game win expectancy, for those that want the dumb, not pure scientific, but here's like the way to understand it the easiest. What did you do down to down? How much did you move the football down to down? But it doesn't, you know, it filters out turnovers. It filters out plays that could be considered luck. It was, how did you do down to down? And I think that's kind of the thing that we've been seeing with Alabama. It's they'll give up yards, but then when it comes time to make the big plays, whether it be the fourth and nine on offense, or like, I just felt like after Missouri walked it down the field that first possession, you're kind of sitting there going like, oh man, is Alabama in trouble here? Well, no, Alabama settles down. They go right down the field and score. And then they force three straight three and outs. They take a two possession lead, and they kind of just took control of the game. And this is what this has been kind of the point that I've been making for SEC fans out there, particularly in the SEC. You really have to think of it as diet NFL. And what the games are going to come down to is, what did you do on money downs? How did you do situational football? When you got in the red zone, did you finish drives? What did you do on third downs? And that's really where Alabama's been beating people. And the truth is, Tim, if we want to go and use the DeBoer reference, this is what DeBoer did at Washington when Oregon had maybe the better rosters, but Washington kept beating them.
Yeah. That was, I mean, I found myself on the wrong side of multiple bets against Washington that year with Oregon, right? I was like,
oh yeah,
Oregon's going to, the market's telling you Oregon's the right side here. And ultimately they were wrong, right? Until Michigan just kind of suffocated them in the national championship. So we finally were able to get a winner against Washington in that one. But look, I think Ty Simpson, I don't know if he'll win the Heisman Trophy. I think he's going to have a lot of opportunities to do so. It does feel like, by the way, and I know I'm kind of all over the place, but I think for the Heisman, doesn't it feel like it's going to come down to championship weekend? Because you're going to have Ty Simpson playing, Carson Beck playing, Fernando Mendoza playing. And I'm not saying Fernando Mendoza can't win the Heisman Trophy, but if your closing argument is against Ohio State, good luck, buddy.
No, I think you're right.
He has to run up the score now. He has to do what Lamar Jackson did when he won the Heisman Trophy, where Louisville fell apart down the stretch.
Yeah, I think they lost three in a row.
They lost to like Houston. They lost a bunch of weird games, but he had run up the score so much. Fernando Mendoza is not Lamar Jackson. Like, his numbers were so gaudy.
And to be clear, there was no other, like, is that 17? Yeah, because Lamar's in the 18 draft,
16.
Right?
I thought it was 16. I don't know. Whatever. 16 or 17. Or 6-7, as it gets said about 3,000 times in my house.
Because Lamar's in the Josh Allen draft, right? Wasn't he the last one?
He was the 32nd pick. Let's see. Wikipedia always help us
and
out.
Maybe he won the Heisman not in his last year.
He won the Heisman in 16. He played it the next year and didn't win it.
Yeah.
So I think Simps, because you look at Indiana's schedule moving forward. It is very soft. Like, I think Simpson's got the best chance to have big time moments here before the SEC championship game, but he also has the best chance of losing games as well.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the problem with Carson Beck is, okay, I guess they somewhat get a profile game, but it's a Friday night, and Friday night is usually a night where, like, what we had the UVA-Florida State game, I think, had 4 million viewers, and it was, like, the highest-rated Friday night game in the history of ESPN. So it's not necessarily, like, the biggest viewing experience. So it feels like Beck's next best chance is championship weekend. It feels to me like Simpson is going to have the highest profile games the rest of the way, because now Indiana's in the spot where, okay, what's their next high profile game? Is it
Big Ten championship?
Right, because the Penn State game, it feels like now, could be on BTN.
That made me laugh.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no. Or Penn State could just turn out to be UCLA. Their head coach was holding them back.
That doesn't feel like that situation to me.
No, it does not.
That feels like we went all in. And this was kind of something I was more focused on last year, and we didn't see it as much. But the teams that cashed in their chips and were going for broke playoff, you know, really for them it was title or bust, but like we saw like with Ole Miss last year, it was playoff or bust, and then they lose to Kentucky, and then they lose at the end of the year to Florida, and then all of a sudden it's dead and gone. But Penn State to me feels like what I was thinking would happen more last year, and I think we kind of saw it actually with Florida State. I don't know if Florida State's roster was as bad as 2-10. I feel confident in saying that. But these teams that had lots to play for, they lose early and their season's over with and they just fall apart. That's what it feels like with Penn State.
Yeah, I asked the question today on the podcast. What road do they take? Do they take the Oklahoma State road or do they take the UCLA road? More than likely they take their own road and it's neither, but Oklahoma State.
You could talk me into a little bit of Va-Tech, where Va-Tech was like, they're still not good, but they've shown a little bit of fight. You know what I mean?
I would agree. Yeah. I mean, they won their first two games. They got all excited for, who is it? Scott Montgomery is their interim right now.
No, no, Philip Montgomery.
Philip Montgomery.
Tulsa legend.
That's right.
But like you look at, okay, now like let's talk about what Indiana's got left. So they've got Michigan State this week on Peacock. And
disaster.
I mean, you and I are someone.
That's a classic letdown spot, but I just.
Oh, the Michigan State defense, man.
I can't. After last week, I.
Well, now I'm hearing rumblings of is Jonathan Smith trying to get out of town? Like
go to UCLA?
Yep.
Has he won enough?
I don't
know. That's a problem.
Can you, like, literally UCLA just went and beat him in East Lansing last week.
Beat the crap out of him. Didn't just beat him. They embarrassed him.
The game was over in the first half.
I mean, who in their right mind would lay 7.5 with mid? Oh, wait, I did.
Both of us. But that was nice that you could just move on quick. Like, oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I was.
Well,
I was
that's on the age-old question, right? It's what would you rather have? Would you rather have Arizona late night like I did, or would you rather have Michigan State?
Like, I would always rather just be dead wrong.
See, there's part of me that outside of just the excruciating pain of losing a bet when the quarterback of the other team fumbles, kicks it forward, and somehow the opposition doesn't recover it, and then the quarterback puts up two fingers to go for 2-point conversion, which would get you a cover, and then his coach said, no, we're going to kick the extra point with 19 seconds to go. There is part of me that likes that more because at least I can go and defend myself. There's no defense of Michigan State. I was like, I'm wrong. I'm an idiot.
This yeah, but I also didn't bet it from a numbers perspective. I bet it from a spot perspective.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so, like, to me.
Oh, I'll bet that spot. I mean, look, I am a tried and true situational handicapper. I will never not be. And that's why I love Texas so much. Everyone, like, every spot that I did last week. It was, whoa, really? Texas? I'm like, yeah, they're not that bad. And the quarterback of the opposition has a broken thumb. Like, what are we doing here?
Honestly, I'm glad I wasn't right that he played, that he wasn't going to play.
Yeah, it was better for our bet.
I will say this also.
Hawkins is terrible.
That also tells you the fact that they did that tells you how little faith they have. Listen, the bloody hand made it look worse. I also think that where I'd like to kind of take a victory lap, I wasn't wrong on Mateer. I was just early. He is more of a fun quarterback than he is a great quarterback.
Well, here's the thing is if you look at, and I know you're more, I would say, analytically savvy than I am, but I looked at the offensive ratings for Oklahoma.
Yep.
They're not good.
No, he is their run game too. That's the other problem.
And that was the surprise. Like, here's Oklahoma, if they are able to salvage this season, by the way, how are they scoring points in Columbia, South Carolina on Saturday?
I don't know, but how is South Carolina scoring points? Because
that's what I'm saying, in that game, in that total, in South Carolina, Oklahoma, like I really want to bet South Carolina, but I'm like, against that defense?
I mean, only thing I would say is turnovers equal points for the other team.
I guess I could take Oklahoma team total under, and maybe that would be the route if they win like 17-3 or something like that. But look, the Oklahoma defense is the real deal. Like,
you didn't hear me criticizing them.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, if Oklahoma makes some waves this year, it's because the defense is nasty.
No, but I think this is kind of the other interesting aspect of it all. Oklahoma, which was going into this game, and I'm not saying this one game changes everything. But what it did display is Oklahoma has not just fixed its offense, and you look at Oklahoma's remaining schedule, are we sure that Venables is safe?
Ooh, let's play that game. Let's play that game. That's a fun game to play.
Okay, you ready? Here we go. At South Carolina, and
I'm saying like all coaches. Like, what coaches? Because I could make a case for a lot of coaches right now.
Okay.
Yeah, go play the Oklahoma game.
All right. At South Carolina, line is at 4.5 now, right?
5.5 this morning. Let me double check. 5.5, but yeah, to your point.
And it opened at?
4.
Okay, so at least it is moving in their direction.
Correct.
Okay, but if they go and lose at South Carolina on Saturday, are you stunned?
No.
Now,
terrible spot. Sandwich spot, Ole Miss next week.
I do also like, though, it's 11:45.
Yeah, if it's nighttime, I think I like South Carolina more.
All right. Ole Miss at home. All right. I'm not saying they can't. They can win both. They are a road favorite this week, and they're probably going to be a road favorite next week, or a home favorite next week. Home favorite.
That's a good question. I don't know.
I mean, I honestly think it depends on a lot of what happens both ways.
Yeah, and I think Mateer's health is obviously going to be a big factor. Okay, continue.
At Tennessee?
Dog.
Okay. At Alabama?
Dog.
Missouri at home?
Slight favorite.
And LSU at home?
Favorite right now.
LSU's another one of those teams that we can throw into our...
Well, you do know that LSU's an underdog against Vanderbilt for the first time since 1948.
I know, and I can't decide if that...
I know what to do. That line, so the look-ahead, I like to do this exercise every week. So I look at the look-ahead lines. Those usually show up on, like, Wednesday. And then where the market is, and I play market correction or overreaction. Vanderbilt was catching 3.5, and now they're laying 2.5. You had a 6-point move in that game with no major injuries.
Well.
Look,
I need to be clear, because there's also this weird reality of LSU sitting here at, 5-1? And it's not like they have a bad loss. Their loss is a road game, one-score game to the team that's ranked 5th. And again, we can talk about Ole Miss later, but the point is, it's not a bad loss. I just feel like everybody's moved on a little bit too soon with them.
I think the offense is so bad.
But people haven't done it with people haven't done it with Oklahoma.
That's true. No, I think that's fair.
And so, to me, the thing is, Nussmeier got banged up again. I do also acknowledge Nussmeier is also making bad decisions while also being hurt. Like, there's this weird reality of if you point out Nussmeier's hurt, oh, so you're just taking up for him. What about being thrown into triple coverage? Like, no, he's making bad decisions, but on top of that, he's hurt. They also have no run game. There's a lot of other things structurally around them. But if I tell you this, that their offensive line starts to get healthy and they start to get a running back or two back, well, now all of a sudden, it's not like we're asking them to be the greatest offense in the world because they play with that defense. Like, I don't know. There's this weird reality for me of where I find myself like, I think people are jumping ship on LSU a little too soon.
I mean, I would listen to the argument. Like, as much as I like to poke fun at Brian Kelly, he is a good coach. And they have a really good defense.
All right, so let's see. ESPN FPI, which again, it's a slightly predictive measurement. So they give them a 55% chance of South Carolina gets a 55%. Oklahoma has a 55% chance of winning at South Carolina. Right now, FPI likes Ole Miss 50. Like basically, it's like a 51-49 advantage for Ole Miss. Tennessee has a 65% chance of winning. Alabama is going to be probably 76% chance of winning. Missouri, they have a slight 53% chance. And then LSU is about a 53% chance as well. So I guess if they go 9-3, he's safe. But like, my question is, what if they go 1-2-3? What if they go like 1-4?
Yeah. So Mateer has eligibility, correct?
Yes.
I think we've gotten to the point where John Mateer ain't going pro. Right?
I think the most likely outcome is Venables and Mateer both come back.
That would be my gut tell. That the run it back. Hey, pitch it to the boosters. If he's healthy, we beat Michigan. We beat Auburn. Like, we can run it back. I think Oklahoma will be fine. I think Venables will be fine, barring catastrophe down the stretch. Like, I mean, that is a brutal schedule down the stretch. Like, I don't want to say they have to win on Saturday, but, man, it would go a long way. Because then you could kind of limp your way to the finish line, I would say. But if you look at the SEC, coaches that are safe. Lane's safe, but does he want to be there? That's the question. And it's always the question. Especially if a job in Florida comes open.
If you made me guess, I would bet today somewhat confidently he's the Ole Miss coach next year.
Okay. And I will trust you. You're much more in tune on Ole Miss than I am.
But again, I also have to say, predicting Lane Kiffin behavior might be an exercise in futility.
Elko, I don't think he's going anywhere. He's definitely safe.
And let's say even they do like an A&M thing where they look really good and they fall down the stretch. They're happy with him.
Yes. I think we've gotten to the point where DeBoer is safe. And both you and I think they are going to be a factor in the playoff. Kirby's not going anywhere.
Heupel's safe.
Brian Kelly?
So does anyone know the buyout structure?
Now, let me ask you this. There were rumors that he was poking around about the Michigan job a year ago. Would Penn State be on his radar? I don't know. I mean, more than likely, Penn State, it seems like Matt Rhule is too logical, so they probably won't go that way.
But I also don't know if I would do it.
If you're Penn State?
Yeah.
I agree.
The same totally arguments agree. That you have against James
you
can't Franklin.
Win big games.
The question is, okay, so
if
along
LSU
this.
LSU loses Saturday to Vanderbilt.
Yes.
And they're a slight underdog.
And they'll probably be a home dog next week.
To A&M,
right?
And they have a bye week, and they're at Bama.
Yeah,
there's a chance they could lose three in a row.
Yes,
if they lose three in a row, is Brian Kelly still the head coach?
Again, I need to know buyout structure.
All right, so what we can look that up in the break. Heupel's safe. Sark, I think, is safe, especially with Arch. Eli's safe at Mizzou. We talked about Venables. Clark Lee's obviously safe, but is this his time to strike? And he's a Vanderbilt alum, he's from Nashville, but he's also probably a smart man and is going to realize, I can't keep this thing rolling. I don't want to Matt Campbell this job, right? I don't want to stay here too long and my star diminishes. So could Clark Lee be a guy that looks to leave?
I think Clark Lee, I guess I would say, I don't think it makes sense, but there's reports now that, you know, Penn State's focusing the search on Marcus Freeman. I would say that's very dumb,
not happening either.
I wouldn't say it's dumb from Penn State by saying, like, yeah, if you can get Marcus Freeman, go get him. I just don't think you're getting Marcus Freeman.
Freeman spent the past year beating Penn State on the field, taking their prized running back coach, and then took about four different recruits from the state of Pennsylvania in head-to-head matchups against Penn State. And I'm a Notre Dame fan.
No. Now, here would be my argument, though. Not that he goes to Penn State. I think we could also maybe see some NFL openings.
I think, look, if Ohio State ever came open, obviously that would be the dagger. He would go to Ohio State. I'm not saying there isn't a job out there that he would leave Notre Dame for, but from my understanding, the administration is all in, more so than they were with Brian Kelly. They are paying assistants top dollar. Mike Denbrock, I believe, is the highest paid coordinator in football. And I want to say...
Knowles, I thought.
Highest offensive coach, I'm sorry. And I believe Al Golden was not far behind on the defensive side. He just wanted to go back to the NFL.
And now he probably wants to go back to college.
Yeah, he's like, can I come back now?
Well, that was the first. If Penn State came calling for Al Golden, how long do you think it'd take him?
Oh, millisecond. Here's my tinfoil hat on Penn State. I think their AD or their AD's agent is leaking this because they're going to call everybody. And they're gonna. They should call Marcus Freeman as a representative. Hey, what do you think? No. Okay, well, we called him. We tried. We zeroed in on Marcus Freeman. We zeroed in on Ryan Day. And then if they have to settle on Manny Diaz and Mensah as a package deal or Matt Rhule, whatever it may be. Like, there are guys that they can get.
No, someone's going to take the job. The only holdup I have is, did you really spend $50 million to hire Matt Rhule? And maybe you did, because I would say this. A&M, once upon a time, spent $75 million or $76 million to hire Mike Elko. And
it's working out.
It is. And so, I don't know. What I find interesting about the Franklin thing, and this will be our last thought before we get into the awards. Does Franklin trigger the dominoes in the same way? I used the example yesterday. Remember in the COVID season when we were just so desperate to get football on the field? We're like, we won't fire anybody. We'll be thankful just to have football. It's going to be a nice, like, calm season. And then literally, I think they fired Muschamp before the end of September. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, they did it. Now we can do it. I do wonder if Penn State actually pulling the trigger and firing Franklin creates some of these other teams that are looking at these bad buyouts going, all right, well, we'll just do it.
I mean, I think that's what we're getting at, right? And this was not structured in the regard of like, hey, we agreed to, it was like, we fired him.
Yes. There was no mutual parting of the ways. It was a firing.
We fired him. And now he has to look for a job in the media or broadcasting, apparently. He has to show that he's looking for a job.
I also think that that's overblown.
I texted my bosses at VSIN. I said, hey, you want to hire James Franklin?
Yeah.
It'd be cheap.
I also think, like, that's one of those things that schools put into the contracts, but they're kind of, you don't have to look very hard, is what I would say.
Send a couple emails out.
Yeah. And it's basically just like your agent just being like, well, he sought employment, but it wasn't the right time.
Didn't George Costanza have to do that in order to get his unemployment check?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was definitely a Seinfeld angle.
Vandalay Industries.
The Human Fund. Never, ever forget the Human Fund. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll recap the week that was. We've got our Week 7 College Football Awards. We do it next, right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Mark Giannato's...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Honeymoon, here we come. Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
We'll call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport?
Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
To join me at the top of the next segment, we'll get his thoughts on Memphis's pursuit of game day. He was here the last time that Memphis hosted game day, really the first time Memphis hosted game day. Get his thoughts on that as well as the coaching carousel. But we've now made it to the portion of the program where we get into our weekly awards from last week. Tim, I will leave it to you to select your team of the week.
Indiana, pretty clear. Dominant performance, silenced a lot of naysayers. I wouldn't say a naysayer. I had my skepticism that, all right, you're good. You're better than last year, but how good are you? And to go to Autzen, kind of crappiest weather, and dominate that game in the fashion that they did. And then also, I'll say this. You throw a pick six, and you didn't blink.
No.
You came right back down. You're like, okay, whatever. We threw a pick six. Like, you think back to the playoff game. They get an interception on the road at Notre Dame. Place is pretty quiet. They're driving. Rourke throws a pick. Next play, Jeremiah Love goes 98 yards, and it's over. Like, the game was done at that point. This team is very different. And I think it's also fair to point out what you mentioned at the top of the show regarding Texas Tech. Indiana's doing the same thing. They're just not rubbing it in your face. They spent a lot of money on Fernando Mendoza. They spent a lot of money on some of the pieces on the offensive line. Like, I've heard figures of what they threw out there to get Pat Coogan, Notre Dame center from a year ago. Now, Notre Dame was okay losing him, at least at the time. Now they've lost their center for the year. But it's a big number that they're paying an offensive lineman. Like, they are spending big bucks there in Bloomington, and they're spending big bucks on their coach. But I think you got to give them team of the week because they were phenomenal and took that big punch, tied the game up, and then didn't flinch and won the game by 10.
So I'm fine with doing that because, to your point, also, you know, they go and they take a 3-0 lead in a drive that they probably wanted a little bit more, but they force a stop right off the bat with Oregon. Remember, they get them to turn it over on downs. They get the field goal. Oregon eventually takes the lead 7-3. Then they just march
with a broken play, right?
Yep.
I mean, broken play, touchdown. You're like, all right, here we go. Ducks are gonna, and no, they didn't flinch, and that was really damn impressive.
And like you said, the pick six happens, and then they just go right back down the field. They score again, and then they clamp down on defense, and they get the field goal to put the game away. I'm with you. The only other option I'm going with, and I'm going to do this as a personal thing, I'm going with Alabama because, for me, I thought it was a three-game important stretch here for Alabama, and I'm not trying to diminish the Tennessee game this week. But I wanted to see them. I've seen them go up against a big opponent in Georgia and play well. But then they had to come back, and they had kind of the emotional revenge game of what Diego yep. did to them. And then you had to flip right back around, go on the road, a spot that you haven't been good in, and this was a tough environment in a game that you could easily see not playing well, and they just controlled the entire game. And to me, like, another big part of it was what I'd mentioned with situational football, third downs, Alabama goes 6 of 15, and that includes also the drive where they were just trying to get Missouri to use their timeouts. So on big money downs, they're 6 of 15. Missouri goes 1 of 10. Alabama got it to the red zone four times, comes away with 24 points. Missouri only gets it to the red zone three times. They came away with 17. Like, to me, like, that was kind of the performance I needed to see to say, okay, they're different now under DeBoer. Like, this isn't just lip service. They're going to go on the road. They're going to be disciplined, and they're going to look like the same team that they've been week after week. And to me, that was kind of why I was willing to tip my cap and say, okay, this Alabama team is different.
Yeah, no, I think that's totally fair. And I was texting with a buddy of mine, and, you know, we're in the Westgate Super Contest College together. And usually we're kind of on the same wavelength, but he loved Alabama. I'm like, I think this spot's really bad. He's like, oh, spot schmott. I'm like, dude, it's the real thing, man. Like, Missouri was coming off essentially two byes because they played UMass and had an actual bye. And Alabama, to your point, a war against Georgia, revenge spot against Diego. And then let's not forget, they lost to Tennessee last year.
Yep.
So you had this sandwich spot here. And to go, and also similarly to Indiana, what happened? Missouri gets the ball, zoop, right down the field, touchdown. And you're like, oh, here we go. And they responded right away. 11-play, 78-yard touchdown drive. I have no issues with that. I'll mention this just as an honorable mention. On Friday night, South Florida, man, that team's pretty legit. And it was like, hey, that's cute that you think this North Texas team's going to beat us. We're going to go out here and just throw up a boatload of yards on their behinds. And the AAC, man, if you didn't know it all by now, it's by far the best conference, G5 conference out there. And for South Florida, that game in Memphis in 2 weeks, I imagine you're going to talk about that with Mark, is a massive one, man. That is a huge, huge game in your backyard coming up in 2 weeks.
Yeah, more on that in a winter. Do you have a week, or more on that in a minute, do you have a week 7 Heisman winner?
I'll give it to Cameron Dickey, the Texas Tech running back.
Dang it, we picked the same one.
Oh, did we really? Yeah. I was trying to go a little bit off the radar because I was like, oh, maybe you'll pick Fernando Mendoza or something like that. All right, I'll let you expand on a little bit more. I don't know, was it you who said, is Texas Tech just an absolute juggernaut?
And yes, I was asking you this. Like, in that league, I don't know if they can make spreads big enough.
Well, and you look at now in hindsight, and I know Utah played Arizona State with Van Wilder, a.k.a. Jeff Sims, but Utah looks like the clear-cut number two. We'll find out more about that this weekend when they play BYU in the Holy War. But, yeah, it does seem like Texas Tech is a notch above everyone in that conference. And it doesn't seem to matter who their quarterback is, because they just got dudes everywhere. And Cameron Dickey, like, good luck trying to tackle this dude.
I mean, 21 carries, 263 yards, two scores, had another 16 out of the backfield. I could have also gone with Friday night. Damon Williams was fantastic.
Oh, my God, he's so good.
But there's also the Rutgers defense aspect of this.
Oh, just a little side note here. If you are, and now I'm sure this will blow up in my face, Washington gets out to slow starts a lot.
Yep, they're a live bet team.
And I was sitting there on Friday night, may have had a cocktail or two in me, and I was like, oh, I'm going to bet Washington when they're down. I think we were down 13-7. And I thought I saw +3, and it was -3 with Washington. I was like, uh-oh.
I had them four different ways that night.
And then they won by 19.
Yeah.
Like, they just, Damon Williams, he threw for 402, ran for .136. Look, I bet him to win the Heisman prior to the Ohio State game because the thought was they win that game, his number is going to get chopped in half. Similarly here this weekend, it's a really tricky spot for Washington. Noon Eastern, 9 local kick for the Huskies at the Big House. I don't know if Michigan has the firepower to keep up with them, though, man.
No.
But I just hate the spot.
Yeah.
And they get off to these slow
starts. Don't forget, though, that Sherrone Moore's bringing his hard hat and his mechanics jacket.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah, he wore a mechanics jacket yesterday.
By the way,
to get back to work.
Another honorable mention team of the week, USC.
Oh, I've got, they're coming up as well. Oof. All right, most college football moment of the week. I mean, just in general, I'm saying the officiating in the Georgia-Auburn game.
I mean, the timeout call is the most ridiculous thing. I don't want to say I've ever seen, but like...
I have no explanation for it.
Like, the refs should say, well, sorry, you looked like you were calling timeout. It's a timeout.
We granted you a timeout.
Like, I don't know how... Has the SEC come out and said anything about it?
So usually they do that on Monday. I didn't see anything yesterday. With that being said, I was not perusing and like waiting. I didn't have notifications set up, but I've not seen an official comment.
That is one of the most egregious... Like, there were a lot of things. Like, that whole... I mean, I know McDonough was adamant that was a touchdown. I was too, because I had Auburn. I don't know. I could hear the argument because it was a fumble on the field. You want to call it a fumble, I guess. But Kirby Smart running down the sideline, clearly saying timeout, 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 and then immediately going into politician lie mode, being like, what? No, no, I was clapping. I was clapping. What are you talking about? It's like, what? No, you weren't. You called timeout. And if you're the refs, you'd be like, sorry, we gave you a timeout. Like, Tough, you know what?
I mean, that's also just a crew in general that, like, I just always feel like that game started at, like, 6, and I felt like all the other games that started at 6:30 were over an hour before it.
It was your classic 3:30 CBS game that goes until, like, 9 o'clock at night.
It was Red River. Remember when Red River used to kick off at 11, and then you'd, like you'd be at halftime of the 2:30 games, and that would still... It would still be going.
I mean, that was so insane to see that unfold.
I mean, God, it's.
I just and look, you and I are reverse jinxers, but as soon as I saw that touchdown get overturned, even I guess fumble on the field, whatever, I was like. Yeah.
No, I mean, but that's the thing. Like, let's compare that to the difference of Mendoza throws the pick 6. That could have been easily a spot for Indiana to crater and whatnot. Auburn just cratered. They had 40 yards of offense after that.
Can you recall a game, and I'm sure there is one, that just one play flips the whole thing? I mean, it was, 200-20 in yardage prior to the fumble, and then it just completely flipped on its head to 200-40 down the stretch. One play, everything changed.
I think they had 3 first downs in the second half. 25 of the 40 yards came on one play.
Hugh's not surviving, right?
No, I don't know if he makes it to Monday.
Okay. Yeah, that's, you've seen a flip of favorites there. Auburn open favorite. They're now the dog against Missouri.
They're on Q watch. I'll tell you that. Stock up for the what you had mentioned a little bit earlier. I am going with USC, not simply because they won the game. That was finally a USC team or a Lincoln Riley team that didn't look the exact same. Where it's just all offense, all gas, no breaks. You know, it's just going to be track meet. Like, they've actually spent some money, it looks like, on their defense. They got to play a little physical football. Like, I'm open to the idea this team's a little different, and it's this weird reality for you on Saturday. Have we ever had a Notre Dame USC loser leave town? And no one's getting fired out of this, but like, it does feel like the loser's out of it in terms of the playoff.
Notre Dame's definitely out of it if they don't win this game.
And I think USC still has a path, because obviously it wouldn't be a conference loss. They still have a way to play it in, but it does feel like they got it. Like, they'll struggle to get in without it.
I mean, they could beat Oregon, but and down the stretch, and hey, maybe UCLA will be on fire by then. But I'll say this, and maybe I'll have to jump back on Friday so we could talk more about it. The number is telling you a little bit of a story right now.
Mm-hmm.
The sharpest book in the world, circa, is the only 10, and is just kind of hanging like, hey, who wants to bet USC? Anyone? Anyone out there? Because when I posted yesterday that the number had hit 10, all my responses were, whoa, that number's too high. And I'm like,
usually,
I like this.
Usually something to pay attention
so
to.
So we'll see. USC dealing with a lot of injuries, but I agree. They I mean, that thing was non-competitive. They dominated.
And obviously, Justice Haynes getting hurt had an aspect to do it. Like, I'm not going to sit there and act like there was nothing. But the fact that they largely controlled the game even when he was in there, to me, like, that was a huge part of it. Stock down, teams would wear the same helmet, Oregon and North Texas. Like, I do find myself wondering, did we make too much of Oregon because of Penn State? And I do also know, contextually, that Penn State game might have spiraled on them and cost James Franklin his job and everything and whatnot. But it's like, man, Northwestern wasn't really struggling super difficultly to move the football. Like, I find myself wondering, did we crown Oregon? Because I was questioning Oregon coming into the year. Now I'm like, maybe I was a little early, not wrong.
You know, it's funny because a lot of people that I respect questioned Oregon. And then they beat Oklahoma State by a billion. You're like, whoa. And then now you look at Oklahoma State, you're like, oh. And then they go to Penn State and they win. Whoa. And now you look at it, you're like, oh. So, yeah, I don't know. Oregon, yeah, I think got crowned a little bit and to a much, much lesser extent. North Texas, fun offense, you know, 5-0. They sell it out. They got, like I said, fun offense. Yeah, we probably got a little too excited about North Texas. They're not to the level of the Memphises, the USFs, the Tulanes, probably the Navies.
I even got like 3 points of closing line value in that game. And when you just started watching, like if you stopped watching the football and you just started watching the lines of scrimmage, you're like, oh, this is a dead dog loser.
Yeah, there were a couple turnovers early that I was like, maybe we could hold on. And then
Westmaker threw a pick when they had they were driving to maybe go take a 2-score lead, and it's like that was all she wrote. So again, they're fun, but they're clearly like the fourth.
I'll say this: if Westmaker doesn't get poached in the portal, which hopefully the new rules will help him stay, they're a bet on team in the bowl season when they play some random school.
I think that's more than fair. Is there anyone that you wanted to double down on? I might double down on Missouri.
Are we talking like off a loss?
Yeah, just like a team that you think like, and no one's really like diminishing Missouri after that, but there is kind of like a C.
I'm gonna eat these words.
Texas?
No, and they didn't lose, but they got the big one. I kind of want to double down on Notre Dame being a legit national championship contender. Their offense is the best offense I've seen in like 10 years.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Congratulations. Honeymoon, here we come.
Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
Well, call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen, you got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport?
Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering. In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.